If everyone could please come to order, this is a special meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District. Mrs. Vega, call roll, please.
Director Tacker?
Here.
Director LeGros?
Present.
Vice President Hensley?
Here.
President Gustafson?
Here. We all rise for the flag salute.
Income Assistance Trust Fund for the community of Los Osos. I hope all of you can attend. I hope, in fact, I hope that around 12 o'clock or thereafter, we could take a short break and go over and partake and have lunch and make a donation to that charity.
Thank you, Director LeGros.
Mr. Gustafson?
Director Tacker?
I'd like to make a motion that we take a 12:30 break and go to that barbecue for half an hour.
Do we know when it starts? Is it actually
at noon?
It starts at noon and
ends at 3.
Yeah, so.
And for those, I know this is a delayed meeting, so those in the public who would be interested in donating money can call up either the district at 528-9370 or call up Justin Starling at 542-3-2-3-2-3. To make a donation. And I will gladly second Ms. Tacker's motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is that in order, Mr. Seitz, at this time? Any discussion on that? I think 12:30 or thereabouts, maybe better if we have an appropriate breaking point around that time. But I think, you know, in general, the sense of the motion. Mrs. Vega.
Director LeGros?
Yes.
Director Tacker?
Yes.
Vice President Hensley?
Yes.
President Gustafson?
Yes. At this time, we're going to go into closed session, and I'd like to read the closed session agenda. Litigation conference with District Counsel John Seitz regarding pending litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A, two cases. LOCSD versus San Luis Obispo County Clerk case et al. Ray Ballot of Case Initiative Petition in Slo Superior Court CV050562 and Los Osos Taxpayers Association versus LOCSD and SWRCB in Slo Superior Court CV050649. At this time, I'll open a public comment for any discussion on the closed session items.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. I was just wondering if District Council could elaborate on regarding significant exposure to anticipated litigation pursuant to government code, blah, blah, blah.
Those last two items will not be discussed in closed session. There is no litigation. We're just reserving that. There's been rumors throughout the community that more lawsuits were on their way, and as far as we know, they haven't been filed.
Additional public comment?
What justification, Peggy Pavick, Prohibition Zone, what justification do you have to use our taxpayer dollars to fight against what the taxpayer wants on the ballot? Seems like an illegal expenditure to me. How are you justified in using taxpayer dollars for elections / campaigns? Answers?
Mr. Seitz.
Thank you.
Attorney Kathleen Jensen, Prohibition Zone, 33-year resident. I thought this meeting was called so that you could consider cutting the time for public comment. I thought that was going to be discussed. Someone told me that that's what we were here for. And I just wrote some things down, and I'd like to say them now.
Yeah, Mrs. Jensen, this is just on the closed session. After closed session, we'll come back.
It's in there. I've got stuff on your hearings.
No, well, right then you can find it just to the closed session items. Because we're going to go into closed session, then we'll come back out and do our open session.
How much time do I have?
Well, you have 3 minutes.
Well, I think I can do it.
Well, no. Just the closed session items, though.
Well, We need to speak. Okay. Why did not the CSD stand up to Montgomery, Watson, Harza and file them? No.
That's not on the closed session items. The closed session items are the case between the CSD and Ann Case regarding the initiative ballot.
That's what we're going to be talking about. The initiative ballot right here.
Okay, Montgomery Watson has nothing to do with the initiative ballot.
Well, it has to do with the project that we haven't been able to vote
on. This is regarding the initiative ballot and the case that was filed, as well as the case that the Taxpayers Association has filed. Those are the two items.
It's all about a vote on the project. They both are. So let me please read it. Okay. Why did not the CSD stand up to Montgomery, Watson, Harza and fire them, when their cost estimates for the publicly contested sewer project came in at almost double and not within the range of the previous estimated error of costs? We did not want and could not afford the project before your board went to the state against the will of the people, with public protests, both written and orally documented, of the people. You went to double the amount of our debt that was to be wasted. Director Lisa Schicker has stated that she has compared the current project costs with others being done by Montgomery Watson Harza, and that the project for Los Osos is too high by comparison.
Mrs. Jensen, please, nothing yet has been, you haven't tied it in at all with the two agenda items.
You're using our money to sue us and to keep us from having the right to vote for a sewer project that we approve of, both location, cost, and design. And you tell us that we've had a vote, but we voted for an assessment bond, not for the atrocity created by you now. Your board entered into contracts without adequate water studies having been done. Rose Bowker told me that a vote for an assessment bond was not a vote for a sewer. And now you want us to pay for imported water so you can satisfy your development interests to rape us financially, destroy the land of Los Osos and our quality of life. Los Osos, remember, we are appealing the CSD lawsuit against our...
The lawsuit for striking down the initiative on the ballot, there may be some technical things that the judge may rule on that may disqualify it, but nonetheless, it shows the spirit of the people to move the plant. It shows the CSD's reluctance to let this go on, not because of the nominal costs to include it with already the existing recall vote, but it demonstrates their desire to keep this from people's vote. And I think we'll still have that vote in the recall election, so I'd like to say, regardless of how this comes out, there still will be the recall election, and we still intend to move the plant.
Additional public comment.
I'm John Perkins from Community of Cuesta by the Sea, and I'm in the Prohibition Zone. And like many in the Prohibition Zone, the landowners in the Prohibition Zone, I'm going to have to pay for my part of that wastewater treatment facility. I'd like to compliment the Community Service District in taking my side in this lawsuit, in suing the county to get an initiative off the ballot, which is apparently illegal on its face and blatantly unfair. It would give the people outside of the Prohibition Zone who have no input in paying for the project the opportunity to tell me and the rest of us in the Prohibition Zone what kind of a project we have to have, and that's blatantly unfair. Again, I want to thank you for taking that lawsuit. Thank you.
Additional public comment.
Before you tell me I'm out of order, I already know what I'm going to say is going to be out of order on this topic. I want to go back to the fundraiser that's happening from 12 to 3. Earlier in the year, I announced that if there was a difference in the fire tax from what it previously was to a new fire tax, there was going to be a fund set up that we were going to help people pay that difference. Since there won't be an increase this year and we won't have to do that till next year, and this issue about helping low-income people or people who aren't going to be able to afford the project crosses all bounds. No matter where you fall on this issue, everybody should want to help the low-income or those that are going to be affected by this most adversely. So at 12:30 at the break, I'm going to do a head count in the room, and I will send over whatever the amount of money for that number of people times the $7 per ticket. And anybody that goes over to pick up their food instead of paying for their ticket can just make a donation. Maybe we can get a double hit. Thank you.
Thank you. And any additional public comment?
Dave Dugan, and hopefully people will be able to speak towards the regulations that were going to be laid down that would determine where a wastewater project plant would be. I don't believe that this initiative is going to make it to the ballot. I think the tides have turned against that. But soon, I guess September, we'll find out how much we can turn around if we have to. I'm not really even sure that alternate plans are even going to work. I haven't seen anything about whose alternate plan. I haven't seen any details. I want to see details. As far as the lawsuit is concerned, that's the courts. Everybody has a right to go to the court, and they have a chance to state their case. And I do not feel that we should deny the CSD as a body because the chance to defend itself, though I do believe in the public's right to have a vote on things. But that's what the judiciary is there for. It's the checks and balances. And everybody should take advantage of it. Thank you.
Additional public comment?
Joyce Albright, Prohibition Zone. I am a member of the majority of the community who is for the project and against the recall. For heaven's sakes, when will the obstructionists get it? They have lost 9 lawsuits and been defeated at each attempt to delay the sewer. Thank God for the initiative that it is being struck down. It was ridiculous. The obstructionist claim to fame is that they have managed to raise the price of the project over $50 million, not to mention all the thousands of dollars the LOCSD has spent defending itself against these suits. Our money, by the way. More lawsuits, more delay, more money from our pockets. When will those supporting these obstructionists understand that there is no collusion between all state and county officials and boards? Our 3 LOCSD men and the staff are not milking the community. They are working for it. Don't give up, guys. We must defend ourselves once again against these people. Vote no, no, no on the recall.
Additional public comment?
Chris Alvey, Los Sosos. Is this an appropriate time to talk about the meeting at Sea Pines?
No. The only two items on this are relative to the initiative and also the taxpayers.
Right. Lawsuit. Okay, I'll speak later. Okay.
Additional public comment?
Good morning. Chuck Cicinia, Prohibition Zone. Candidate for directorship in the recall election. If you're so confident in that vote that we took back in 2001, I think it was the assessment vote, what are you afraid of the initiative vote for? essentially they're the same.
Of course, we have a...
Excuse me, Mrs. Oak, which lawsuit? There are two of them. One is on the initiative and one is on the Taxpayers Association.
Okay, I'll talk about the initiative first. Clearly, over 1,800 people voted, and that shouldn't be tossed aside. They believed in it, and it's a shame that it's gone the way it's gone. Regarding the other lawsuit, it's very important for people to rally around the Los Osos Taxpayers Association. And this Friday night, it will be August 5th, the attorneys will be there, and they'll answer questions regarding the misuse of public funds and the CSD for violations of the California Constitution's Right to Vote on Taxes Act. They'll explain the ins and outs of the suit and take questions from the community. We'll have music, food. It will be fun and very informative. A special community opportunity. Friday, August 5th, starting at 6 o'clock, and that will be at the Community Center. Thank you.
Additional public comment? Okay, this time I'm bringing it back to the board, and we're going to go into closed session. Mr. Seitz, you want to date a time certain as to when we should come out?
Yeah, I think that would, just for the public, that we would have a time that we would come back, so if they were going to go for coffee or something, that they would know when the regular meeting would start.
What's your estimate? Do you think 40 minutes would cover a closed session?
Actually, I think that would be more than ample. I think my comments are going to be somewhere probably around 10 minutes. I know there's always going to be board discussion, so but I think 11 o'clock would work.
Okay. Then do we need a motion on that? Or
no,
I
think you just announce it that the open session will commence. Yeah.
And do we have a room to go to so that the public can remain here?
Yes, sir.
Good. So at this time, we're going to go into closed session. We'll reconvene here in open session at 11 o'clock. We can come back to order. Am I on, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay. At this time, we're going to go into the open session portion. And Mr. Buell, start. Oh, Mr. Seitz?
I need to announce out a closed session. Is that NSF was your intent? I'm sorry.
Yes. Okay. Mr. Seitz?
Thank you, Mr. Pret. I think I'm on. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. At approximately 11:20, the board did adjourn to closed session to discuss two items that were announced on the closed session agenda. The first item was discussed is the Los Osos Community Service District versus the San Luis Obispo County Clerk. This is the challenge to the initiative as drafted. The board heard an update from legal counsel but took no reportable action. The dissenting directors were Director Tacker and Director Schicker. I'm sorry, and they announced that their objection to the motion was to retain McDonough, Holland, and Allen to assist in the defense. That concludes my closed session announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Now, item A, Mr. Buell.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Item A is to consider editing the Los Osos Community Services District bylaws and rules of decorum. This item has been staffed by District Counsel John Seitz, and I've asked him to make his presentation.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. This is the second time that these amendments have been brought to the board. At the previous meeting where these edits were discussed, I took notes not only from the public comment, from the board comment. We also received a letter from Attorney Julie Howard Biggs that I reviewed, and I've made some changes based on her comments to the form that you saw at the prior board meeting. What I attempted to do was to redline the edits so that you could see how they changed, how they morphed from the last meeting into what is being presented today. And I will just go through this briefly, but just as a start, I would like to be able to give the staff report and to review the modifications. I would like to then see the board open it up or board questions and then public comment. However, I do believe that it's important today that we do adopt something. And if there are further edits to the bylaws after we go through my edits and if they're adopted, approved, amended, these bylaws can come back to the board today and comment on other revisions, edits, and amendments, and then I will bring those back for further adoption at a subsequent meeting. But it's sort of my preference that we resolve some issues today, and when I say that, I'm saying that from a policy perspective, not from a legal perspective, but that I believe it's important that we do move forward with some edits if that's what the board determines to do. Now, as I stated out of my staff report at the board meeting of May 19, 2005, the board of directors and the public did consider my memorandum as it related to my proposed changes to the bylaws. As you are aware, and as stated at that May 19, 2000 board meeting, the Los Osos Community Service District Board of Directors conducts its business meetings on items have extended into the wee hours of the morning, as I'm sure the audience and the board is well aware, and sometimes as late as 3:30 a.m. As I state in my memorandum, this brings into play certain provisions of the Brown Act, and that is whether the meetings are really open in public when the meetings last into the wee hours like that. Further, the agenda item can be somewhat lengthy, and as I point out in my memorandum, I have seen agenda items with 40 or more items on the agenda, and that brings into question both the board and the public's expectations that the board will actually consider those items that are posted on the agenda. For example, a member of the public may attend a meeting expecting to participate on agenda item 22. With a very little expectation that agenda item 22 will be considered, or in the alternative, if it is considered, it won't be till after 2 a.m. in the morning. So the purpose of my revisions to the bylaws and the memorandum that is there is, one, is to attempt to discuss and hopefully establish agendas that are consistent with the business requirements of the district. The second one is to limit the length of time of district regular meetings and establish procedures that provide both the board and the public with a reasonable expectation that agenda items that will be considered by the district at its regular meetings. And then lastly, to provide the directors with reasonable assurances that director agenda items will be considered in a timely manner. As the audience may be aware, our bylaws provide for the opportunity for directors to place things on the agenda, and which may be part of the length of the agenda, but again, they're, in my view, you know, they're coming forward, but not, I think, with any reasonable assurances that, from the director's perspective, as to whether or not they will be heard in a timely manner. So here's the recommendations, and then I'll go through these individually. One is to establish two meetings per month. Now, I say on a single monthly agenda with 2 one-hour public comment periods. And when I'm talking about the public comment period there, I'm talking about the general public comment period, not on agenda items, but those items that are not on the agenda. The reason why I'm recommending or bringing forward the thought of a single agenda is purely from a staff's perspective that they only have to prepare one agenda per month, so that we're not using extraordinary staff time to continue to prepare the same agenda as it goes forward. I'm also in here suggesting a starting time for the regular agenda at 6 p.m. and a cutoff date of approximately, cutoff time for the board. Sort of keep in mind that I put this together to be read as a whole. So I think if you were to modify, for example, the public comment limitations, I think the board at the same time might want to consider extending the meeting times so that they, instead of maybe starting at 6 o'clock, you'd want to go back to 5 o'clock or go past 12:30 or something like that, because the idea here is to get through the district business at our meetings and with a reasonable assurance that those all the items that are on that particular agenda, that there's reasonable assurances that they will be considered and the board will take action on them. So going through specifically rule by rule, and I'm now at page 3 of the staff report. The modification is subject to holidays and scheduling conflicts. The board shall meet and consider agenda items on the first and third Thursday of each calendar month. We also designate our normal business meeting place, and that being the South Bay Community Center. This would be a modification back to the 2 meeting per month requirement. Not a requirement, but the 2 meeting per month policy. Recommendation, by the way, these were considerations at your last meeting, and they've been sort of converted to recommendations for the purposes of this meeting. The second recommendation is revisions to sections 2 of the district bylaws. The first one, regular meetings of the board of directors will commence at 6 p.m. And unless extended by a 4/5 vote of the board, the agenda item under consideration at 12:30 a.m. will be the final regular agenda item of consideration. Now, as there's a caveat, this is new language that I added since our last, says the board at the conclusion of the final agenda item will consider director comments and agenda scheduling. So if we get to that 12:30 and that's the last item, there's always that spot on the agenda for future agenda scheduling and board comments. And reading my comments or listening to the comments at the last meeting from both the public and the board, I think there was a clear consensus that we wanted to move forward with those last two provisions. Now, having gone through that, this, of course, impacts closed sessions, because typically we in the past have started our closed session items at 6 and began our regular meeting at 7. And here we're saying begin our regular meeting at 6. So we state that closed sessions shall be scheduled pursuant to the rules governing special meetings or subject to the time limitations in section 2.2 above at the conclusion of regular meetings. So if the agenda was established where there'd be a reasonable expectation that we would be considering the last agenda item at 11, this is hypothetical, to put items on the agenda. It says any director may, this is a difference between the last meeting and this meeting. Any director may submit a written request, and now I made an attachment, and we can certainly discuss that attachment because I think it's a provides a written record of exactly what will go on, but submit a written request attached as an appendix to the board of directors bylaws, and you submit that to the general manager requesting that item be added to a future agenda for consideration. Said request shall be kept on a master list and attached to the monthly agenda. The request shall be added to the monthly agenda on a first-come, first-come basis as time allows. Then, in case there's an item that the board considers to be important or something that needs to be considered more advanced than waiting its time on the waiting list, it says any director as part of the agenda and scheduling portion of the agenda, monthly agenda, may request a vote of the board of directors to have that item on the master list advanced and placed on the subsequent agenda. So it provides the opportunity for if there's something that a director feels strongly should be moved up to the next agenda, they would have the opportunity to request that action from the board. Recommendation number 5 has to do with section 3.2.0, and this was a subject of a significant public comment at our last meeting, and this has to do with certain conflicts that almost have the aura of maybe a physical conflict during our board meetings. We modified that section a little bit, but the way it read before is just notwithstanding section 3.3 below, the presiding officer upon observing any person threatening a member of the board of directors or a member of the public may immediately order that person to leave the board meeting for the remainder of that meeting. That was modified based on what I considered the public comment portion and some director comment. As follows, notwithstanding section 3.3 below, the presiding officer or duly sworn police officer upon observing any person threatening bodily harm to a member of the board of directors or a member of the public shall immediately order that person to leave the board meeting for the remainder of the meeting. Recommendation number 6 was also the subject of significant public comment and board discussion at our last meeting. And this had to do with the limitations, blocks of time for public comment at particular meetings or for particular items that were on the agenda. Now, sort of remember that this is two meetings and what on the agenda. The next one is 1 hour for each item that is on the public hearing portion of the agenda and 1 hour for public comment on the consent items and then 1/2 hour for each item that's on the regular agenda. Now, there's some footnotes to both of those. One is speaker slips are required and shall be delivered to the board secretary prior to the agenda item being called. Now, and those speaker slips would apply to all items that are on the agenda. And the thought being there, that the president would have the speaker slips, or actually Karen would have the speaker slips. My thought is that they'd be color-coded, you know, based on an agenda, so it'd be easy to separate out. Karen would then hand the speaker slips to the president with a count. There, we have 1 hour of public comment, and there are 20 speakers. So that would in theory be the direction would be, okay, we have room for the full 3 minutes for each speaker, and you can sort of do the math. If you had 40 40 speakers for an hour. I think that comes out to 1.5 minutes per speaker. If it was 30, it would come out to 2 minutes per speaker, but then you would have the idea of how many speakers would be allowed to comment. Now, the other thing that we do here, we do have some laxation, and that is footnote number 2. After considering the number of agenda items and the length of the meeting, the board president has the discretion to extend the time. So the 1 hour isn't set as a absolute minimum. There is some flexibility that the board, if there's like maybe one or two items on the agenda, and we're taking a look at this 12:30 quit time, the president would have the discretion to extend the public comment period longer if the feeling was is that we can get through this agenda by 12:30 or whatever time the board lands on. Now, this is the next one. Footnote is the product of public comment, and that is that items set on the public hearing portion of the agenda that relate to a service provided by the district, for example, the fire department, the sewer department, the water department, may be considered as an item on the agenda, and broad public comment shall be allowed and designated on that agenda item. The thought here is this, is that if we have a, and I'm just probably going to use the right department here, that is before the board, but there's a compromise with this. That means that that item has been on the agenda and, again, would place a limitation on the public comment portion of it. You know, I've always read the Brown Act myself when somebody says for an item not on the agenda, if there's a sewer item on the agenda, then there is a sewer discussion. This would, I believe, do two things. One is, of course, it would relieve the frustration that any presiding officer has in trying to make a determination as to whether or not the discussion is relevant to the item on the agenda. You know, I think it relieves the president or the presiding officer of substantial trying to figure out, is this relevant, is this pertinent to this topic? It would alleviate that, I don't know how you would say it, but that duty to try and keep the meetings moving forward, because the presiding officer could be much more relaxed and much more broad. But having said that, when it came back to the public comment at the conclusion of the public hearing portion, of course, we would not be hearing sewer items because people could talk about anything they wanted about the sewer if it was so designated on the public hearing portion. The issue of speaker slips would be on all agenda items, and the board may want to consider whether or not they want to have speaker slips on the regular agenda items, which are those items that come after the consent calendar. I think if you go to page 5, recommendation number 7, this is just a slight modification to the old section, but it says subject to the provisions of section 2.2.2, which is, we just went through that, the blocks of time. Members of the public addressing the board shall have 3 minutes to speak unless extended or shortened by the presiding officer at his or her discretion. The next one has to do more particularly with the rules of decorum and making presentations to the board. This represents substantial revisions to our prior bylaws. and is taken under my consideration as part of not only the comment from the board, but the comment from the audience, but the letter from Attorney Biggs. And here's what they say. It says, each person addressing the board of directors shall do so in an orderly manner. The presiding officer may rule a speaker out of order who makes slanderous, personal, or other remarks. Now, there's a caveat that disrupt the orderly conduct of the meeting. Presiding officer and shall be addressed to the board of directors as a whole. The presiding officer shall determine whether or in what manner district staff will respond to questions. This is the new, this next portion is new. Board members may ask questions or make brief comments in response to public comment, but shall not, so we've sort of had these discussions on and on, can I ask questions, what, and this will just codify what I believe to be the ongoing board's position, but not engage in extended dialogue with individual speakers. So the idea here is if a director has a question of a speaker, you know, that those questions can be asked and a response, if available, can be made back to the board. And that's the conclusion of my recommended revisions. I don't want to preclude discussions of other revisions to be brought back, or we can do them on the run or however, but I think in order to facilitate moving this process forward, it'd be my recommendation that you have an opportunity to ask me questions now, open it up for public comment, come to a conclusion as to whether or not my recommendations are worthy of adoption, either singularly or part and parcel, and then give direction, discuss other edits to the general bylaws so that we can bring those back to the board at a later date.
Any board discussion? Questions?
Mr. President?
Director McGraw.
Mr. Sykes, in regards to the item 2.2 on page 2, board meetings to convene at 6 and to end at 12:30, I want to make this absolutely sure in that time will also be closed session as well.
It would depend on the length of the agenda. My view is that if you had a lengthy agenda and a lot of items to get through, there would be no closed session. In that situation, closed session would be established through the special, the call of a special meeting through the Brown Act. So there may or may not be closed session items at the conclusion of the agenda. You know, the idea here is to have, at a maximum, a seven-hour business meeting twice a month. If it's possible to have closed session items and the president and the general manager come to the conclusion that the number of agenda items to be considered allows for a block of time of a half hour or an hour for closed session, then they could be on there. Again, sort of remember this. The reason why I set this up this way is so both the public and the board would have a reasonable expectation of what items were going to be considered and action was going to be taken by the board at its meetings. And that's the general philosophy or policy that I, or goal, better word, goal that I used in making these recommended changes.
So really, it's all going to depend upon how our president and
director comment or the agenda scheduling to move waiting list number 12 up to the next meeting, or however how many there are, and the board lands on them. Those items will definitely be on the next agenda. So
the director would make a motion to move that item up, and a board vote would be taken.
Exactly.
All right.
So it would not just be, I just want to make it clear that that the board would have some influence on the next agenda, as well as the president and the general manager.
Do you have any thoughts as to the use of these business meetings for electioneering?
Well, yeah, I have thoughts. Most of them aren't legal thoughts. Here's my view. You know, and some of this is strictly policy, so and some of it's strictly legal. Let's go to the legal side of it first.
Stop being an attorney.
First off is that you can't use public property to campaign. So I think that it's prohibited to hang posters on walls. Secondly, I think there's a distinction between hanging posters on walls and people wearing badges or whatever they want to wear. That's on their body. You know, so I think to the extent that that's campaigning, I think that's permissible. I also think that public comment is permissible because I think we set the elections, so it is within the district, within the interest of the district residents and under the Brown Act.
Director Schicker.
Is this okay? Is it too loud or okay? My main question was back in December or January of 05, I had some bylaw proposals and suggestions that were made, and I put them in a written form, and I was wondering why they weren't part of today's packet or part of today's discussion.
What I brought forward today was the memorandum that I provided the board at the last meeting and edited that at what I believe to be the public comment and board discussion.
I don't think the question was really directed at you. I think the question is directed at staff.
Well, I mean,
because I had suggestions. We're talking about bylaws today, and I had some recommendations as well.
Well, I think if the board follows my thinking on how to structure this meeting, I think that those could come forward during the second part, or they could come forward now. I think mm-hmm. that's just a matter for the board to land at. But I want to make sure the board and audience knows I'm solely responsible for the staff report, and I did not receive nor request extensive comments from anybody.
Legal counsel requested an opportunity to make his recommendations to the board. Your board reviewed those previously, went through those, and my understanding of today's session was to deal with those specific proposals, and then anything else the board wanted to talk about was fair game in addition.
It's just the fact that my additions to the bylaws have been on the agenda since January 05, and there's no handout here today, and there's no evidence that I ever said a thing about bylaw edits, and I'm kind of concerned about that, because I think if we're talking about bylaws, everybody's input's important. You have time and money to spend on it, and you did a good job starting point, but where are my comments? The second question I have is, where is a copy of Mrs. Attorney Biggs' letter that you refer to? Do you have a copy for the table, or do you have a copy that I could look at here? I don't have one of those copies here. And you referred to it a couple times.
I think it was handed out at the meeting that she appeared. I don't have a handout for you. I mean, I have a copy in my file here. I'd be glad to rip it out and hand it to you, if that's what...
Just what parts of the letter were of influenced your decisions to edit the bylaws as you did?
Well,
could you sum that up?
I think the main influence that she had was the bylaws were always written that the conduct had to disrupt the meetings. And I'm going back to the old bylaws. And when we had our... agendas, you know, the old agenda used to say no personal slanders or whatever remarks would be made. The reality of it was the way the bylaws were actually read, that part was true, but if you took it, it was a little bit out of context because the bylaws also said that conduct had to disrupt the meeting. The second comment that she had, and believe me, I didn't agree with everything that Ms. Biggs had to present to us, but she relied heavily on the Baca versus Moreno school district case on there, and I did re-review that case in light of the other Ninth Circuit cases on the very same topic and made some very slight modifications. Those modifications basically having to do with, if you go to page 5, 3.2, having to do with the basis for ruling speakers out of order who used a profanity, derogatory, racial, sexual, or ethnic, or similar slurs. That was taken right out of what some of the language in the Baca versus Moreno case as to those types of rules that may perceive to be content-oriented, but in which there was a substantial public policy to preclude that type of language at a legislative meeting.
Director Sugar, do you have any more comments?
No, okay.
Director. Standing committee appointments as were previously edited.
Right. That really wasn't where I was going. So the answer to the question?
Your board edited the bylaws this spring to address the committee structure issues that district council alluded to section 8.1.
Okay. Would that qualify then, or did that qualify then as the annual review?
Well, I think there's a value judgment there. You could look at it as you've done your annual review. I personally believe you're still doing your annual review.
That's kind of what I was thinking too. Because back in March 30, I have a staff note where we talked about doing our annual review, and there were suggestions, including the electioneering that Director LeGros brought up, and then I don't see that those are incorporated in your changes because you're only addressing a few things today. But because you're saying that we can talk about all the bylaws, it is odd, or something's missing when I know Director Hensley put forth some suggestions back in, that was also in March, mid-March. Director Schicker did. We've had letters from the community in the last several months regarding bylaws, and I guess I hoped that we would be talking about all of it, adopting or editing, and then adopting at another day. It sounds like you want to adopt today, and I'm not comfortable with that. One of the things that you brought up, and I'll go to your recommendations, where you talk about the two meetings in a month with a single agenda and the staff time in preparation. So we would bring we would have one binder at the beginning of the month, and we'd bring it to the subsequent meeting, whatever's not finished. The way we've been going with the special meeting on the second and the third Thursday of the month, we've prioritized things are moving in those things that are held over. And I have a feeling that there'll be urgency related to items that we didn't get to, and the staff is still going to be shuffling unless they can't. So then when we talk about the 4/5 vote to pull something up,
no.
Oh, not a 4/5 vote, just a majority vote.
Yes.
So, but if we pull something up as a board from the wish list, which I have a question about that too, if we pull something up, that's then the subsequent month, not really the next time we meet.
It would depend on, of course, what...
which Thursday we're on.
Yeah, and I have no... if you want to just have two regular agendas per meeting and not have a single agenda.
It's some things that have to happen. But what I guess I'm curious about, and then you get into on 2.2.2, the A, B, and C there with the, recommendation 6, section 2.2.2, A, B, C, D with the time limitations.
Yes.
And specifically, I'm looking at B, C, and D in that, because I don't want to touch A with a 10-foot pole. but what I would like to talk about is that item C, if we limit public comment for 1 hour on consent items, that's the entire consent calendar. Yeah. But if we pull an item, it's going to pull an item for discussion. It becomes a one-hour item of its own.
It'd become a half hour. Now, I'll let you finish, then I'll make a comment.
Okay, well then, so you're saying it will have its own half hour. But how does that work when you had 1 hour for agenda items?
I have seen public agencies handle this very issue two different ways. So I'm not here to say which way is better. But what the Brown Act says is that you have to have an opportunity for public comment on your agenda items. Some public agencies take the position that if at the conclusion of the public comment, if a director wants to pull an item, that public discussion on that item has already had the opportunity, it's already taken place. So there's no separate public comment when an item has been pulled from the consent agenda. So if there was a request to pull hypothetically item 22 off the consent for separate board discussion, mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have new public comment on it. Other legislative bodies take the position that if a director pulls an item from the consent calendar, that it does become a new
discussion item
for public. Uh-huh. I'm not saying which way is the better way or not. I'm just saying there are two different ways that you could look at that particular.
So then that maybe is another discussion we need to have, what happens to an item that's pulled. Because I don't know that I want discretion. I want a rule.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay. So that's an – Mr. Buell, write that down.
Got it.
Okay. I have other comments. I would like to hear from the public before I do any more.
Additional board comment. Vice President Hensley.
Just for clarification and make sure that I still am the master of having a grasp of the obvious, we have some questions of you. We're going to go back to the public. Then we're going to come.
And those types of issues so that, again, everybody has the same expectation when they read the agenda. A, we're going to get through the agenda items for both the benefit of the board, the benefit of the district, and the benefit of the public.
Okay.
But however you want to go forward.
I just think there's some tension. There's always some tension with the public in that they'd like us to sort of, you know, dump our thoughts so that they could kind of comment about that. On the other hand, as a representative, I sort of feel some obligation. I kind of want to hear your thoughts before I solidify my comments and vote. So I just wanted to make it clear where we're going on that. And then I do have a smattering of some questions for staff and some comments. And one of the comments that I'd like to make is that it'll help me. When the public comes forward to speak on this, there's a little bit of confusion between we've got a resolution in the packet and the recommendations. If you can give me a heads up as to what specifically you're talking, either the page or the section or whatever you're talking about, so that I can kind of follow along, that helps me a lot. In addition, I also would have liked to have seen our previous comment that we wrote down in the packet, because I didn't keep it myself and I don't have it in front of me, and I would have liked to have been able to review that. And I'm not sure whether this is for Mr. Seitz or Mr. Buell, but maybe to sort of help us kick off or focus our discussion, what's the purpose of the bylaws? Why do we have bylaws? There's some confusion in the public. We hear it regularly that we're not following Robert's Rules of Order. And so can you give us that sort of big picture once again on the bylaws versus Robert's Rules and what the business is that we're trying to conduct here?
Okay. Perhaps you want to start with the purpose of the meetings in the first place.
Right. Well, part of the bylaws is the procedures in conformance with certain requirements under the Brown Act. For example, you have to set your meeting dates, times, and time for commencing your regular meetings, and the place of those regular meetings under the Brown Act. The second purpose of these is that under the Brown Act, you can establish certain policies. It doesn't say that you have to, but that you can. The third reason for having these bylaws is that it creates expectations not only for the board members when they come to the meetings, how the board will conduct its meetings, but it also provides reasonable expectations to the public as to how the meetings will be conducted and how things will progress through those as part of the regular meeting process. It also helps some of these, and these ones in particular, law just in the regular agenda packet, so that they can take a look and not have a detailed review of these different laws that apply to them, but at least have a summary so that they can keep themselves refreshed as to how they interplay with the law. And again, that's basically the reasons why you have them. There are, you know, certain things that from a lawyer's perspective that you want to see in the bylaws because it provides the administrative background for certain actions that the president or the board might take, that it is consistent with a bylaw. One of the things that lawyers get concerned about is whether or not sort of the due process equal protection, that everybody is treated the same or the same conduct is treated the same. And by having, the standards more or less articulated in bylaws has a written record of how the board views its role and its role in interacting with the public. The issue about the Robert's Rules of Order, I need to address. The Robert's Rules of Orders do not apply to any organization unless they adopt them. I personally do not believe that it's appropriate for public agencies to adopt them because they're too complicated. You'd be in this morass of parliamentary procedure from the moment you pound the gavel to the moment that agenda item is concluded. And that's another thing about the bylaws I should probably bring to your attention. Generally, when we look at bylaws, we want to, as best we can, adopt broad policies that have flexibility in them. Robert's Rules of Order has very little flexibility in them. And sort of like what Julie was saying, create a rule for this, create a rule for that. Sometimes when you – I'm not saying the rules that she suggested were shouldn't be in here. Maybe I should have used Director Jones as opposed to Julie. But the idea is if you get too many rules, it becomes too hard to implement them. And that's the problem with Robert's Rules of Order. So you want to sort of have them as much as you can broadly written so that you're not stuck with just precise inch-by-inch meetings that are governed by these rules. So I try to leave some discretion when we write them.
Thank you. You laid that out for us early on in the beginning of this, and we chose the bylaw route over the Robert's Rules of Order route. We did that on purpose. We haven't sort of wandered into this. The 12:30 a.m. I'm looking at recommendation number two. The 12:30 a.m. and I just want to throw this out, sort of because I'd kind of like to hear sort of the public's sense on this as well as stimulate some board thought. It seems to me that if we are committing to a 12:30 a.m. hearing of the final agenda item, that with director's comments, the calendar items that we have, we are really committing to about a 1 o'clock ending for our meeting, plus a closed session after that. I'd be kind of interested in hearing some thoughts relative to something that we had suggested earlier on, that the general versus whether it's on the agenda or not.
Right. Well, the way I would there's a thousand ways to skin this cat. I think that the most important thing about the speaker slips is, A, they identify the agenda item, or, if a speaker wanted to speak on all six agenda items, they'd fill out a card for each agenda item. I think the crucial issue from administering that is falls to Karen, because you'd want her to be able to have some way of separating these out, these slips for the particular agenda items, so that she could get them to the presiding officer in such a way and with the correct count number as expeditiously as possible. So I think whether you color code them or you have up in the upper right-hand corner the agenda item in big print, somebody would fill it in. I think there's probably two or three ways to look at that, but to me that's the most important issue. The other thing that these do that really helps out the secretaries or the clerks is that they now have a record of who spoke. So when it comes to spelling names, making sure the names are correct in the minutes, and all those other little administrative things that go with public presentations, it's a great assistance to them in making sure the agendas the minutes are appropriately put together.
Thank you. I just have a couple more comments. On the meeting costs, I really appreciate Mr. Buell giving a dollar figure on this, or whether maybe you did that, Mr. Seitz. But just as sort of a point of interest, it's $4,000 for a four-hour meeting, but we're not talking about a four-hour meeting. We're talking about, as you proposed, about a six-and-a-half-hour meeting or more.
Correct. And as I pointed out, some of those costs are locked in. Like, for example, my costs and Rob Miller's costs, as we have a retainer agreement, so it doesn't matter to us from a cost perspective how long the meeting goes. From a consultant perspective, it can be a big difference, and having the Sheriff's Department attend our meetings can make a bit of a difference. Your staff time between Mr. Buell, I think, is a consistent cost. He's an exempt employee. So it doesn't really, just so everybody knows, it doesn't necessarily mean if you go two more hours, that means $2,000 more dollars. That was one of the primary considerations about having the public hearing portions
at the beginning of the agenda because a lot of times they're consultant-driven, you know, those agenda items. And it does have a cost bearing to the district that those are heard first so that the consultants can excuse themselves, you know, and go off the ticker, so to speak.
It just appears to me as though we're spending about, to have two meetings, we're spending about take public comment when we come back from that point. It seems like kind of a natural break.
3 hours.
Well, we could be, I mean, we'll be here. I think we're going to hear lengthy public comment. So I just kind of think that if we're going to take a break for lunch, that before public comment so that we don't break public comment at a weird place.
Unless there's someone that cannot be back here this afternoon, which I will be asking about. My only comment very briefly is these meetings are business meetings, and that's the purpose of the meeting. The purpose of the meeting is not educational. The purpose of the meetings is for business, and it's community's business. That's true. And the less interference we have, the better we can do them. And I would like to hear some comments from the public, and I don't mean right now. You've got your time to come up to the podium. The idea being that we have heard comments that the meetings go too long. What I'd like to do is I want to hear some comments from the public in terms of some of the setting of some of the limitations of time as to where we would like to go. I'm open at this point as to where we want to go. If we want to have a limitation on the length of the meeting, then we're going to have a limitation on the agenda items and how we handle the public hearing portion. It will work a lot better if we have a buy-in from everybody that's going to be has a stake in this, and the public certainly has a stake in this. So the question is, if you're going to have, as we have in the past, 3.5 to 4 hours of public comment, and you start a meeting at 6, you're now at 10 o'clock, you don't have time to handle many agenda items, and that's been part of our problem. But I would like to hear comments on that as relative to where the board can go in these bylaws to bring a little more sanity to this. At this time, unless there any further board comment, what I'd like to do, we were talking about an approximate 12:30 break to go out to the barbecue and help support what they're doing. Is there anybody, though, that would like to give public comment on this item right now that cannot be back this afternoon? If so, I will take that at this point so that, you know, I assume we'll break for about an hour and then come back, but I'll take it at this point if there's somebody that wants to have public comment that can't come back. Mr. Barrow.
Thank you for that. My name is Al Barrow. I'm a candidate recall to replace you. I live in Los Osos, and I would like to address Director Henley's comments that we're going to save $10,000 and or concern over how much of this you justify spending a month on the meetings when you're a proponent of a $160 million sewer. Seems like you're stepping across a dollar to pick up a dime. My second comment is that the purpose of the bylaws or the concerns and why they're being brought up now is the economy of time and to expedite it. And in a 7-hour meeting, most people are running out of neural energy, so they can't make very good decisions. So having two meetings a month is of a prime importance, two regular meetings, two normal meetings with public comment. The reason for the law, I don't believe in any kind of discrimination, whether it's sexual, racist, or creed. And I think that point was brought up by Mr. Seitz, and I think that should be a well-respected bylaw. And I stand up right now for that. In the economy of time, thank you.
Any additional public comment for those who can't return?
Ann Calhoun, Los Osos. I had a quick question on 2.5.1, and that has to do with putting things on the agenda. I've spent years and years observing and writing about the San Luis Coastal School District, so I have seen firsthand what can happen when you end up with a divided community, a dysfunctional board, and a sort of locked-in 3-2-3-2.
One of the things, one of the kind of games that could be played is that, as in the school board, you had one school board member, for example, requested something be put on the agenda, and that was never done because the majority would simply refuse to put it on. And I don't know if there is a mechanism by way that you can ensure that the out-group's agenda items, it seems to me these can be endlessly pushed off until the cows come, you know, die of old age, or whether there is a mechanism to ensure that a minority agenda item will be put on the board. So I just don't know if there is a mechanism to ensure doing that, because one of the sort of strategies on a 3-2 divided board, and it doesn't matter whether the school board or this board or the board of supervisors or something, there are strategies to basically shut the opposition up and keep their agenda items off and do it legitimately. I mean, you just keep, oh, darn, we're out of time, and that thing moves on until we all die of old age. So I don't know, as part of the bylaws, if there is a mechanism that could allow that and do it fairly and so forth. So that was the one question I had, and I thank you.
Additional public comment?
Good afternoon. My name is Jack Hunter. I live here in Los Osos. Members of the board, the clear intent of these changes to the bylaws is to further reduce public comment. And I don't think they're necessary. In fact, they are completely unnecessary. If we were to come back with a project that the community could actually buy into, all this is moot. We could move on to very serious agenda items. I urge you all to vote no on these changes and get on with the serious business of this district. Thank you.
Additional public comment?
Hey, Chris Albee, Los Osos. This subject seems to come up about every 6 months, and it all seems to boil down to limiting public comment. I think the public comment is the most sacrosanct thing we do here. And for people to come from their homes and their businesses, whatever, and come here and sit through hours of dissertation to finally get their 3 minutes, I don't think anything should be done or the public. I think that should be defined a little bit. I hadn't heard of anything like that going on. Okay, the speaker slips. Those have always been one of my pet peeves. If somebody's at home watching an agenda item being gone over on TV and decides he wants to comment on it, they should be able to drive down here and, if required, turn in a speaker slip. Turning in a slip for every agenda item doesn't make sense to me at all. A lot of the items you'll read, and there's nothing that interests you about it, but when people start talking about it, you want to be able to have your say. This one-hour limitation for public comment at each regular meeting, never going to work. That's the only way to make it work is to reduce the number of minutes per speaker to talk, and we've all seen what that's led to in the past. Everybody should get their 3 minutes. On on 3.2 rules of the decorum party. I really don't think that the presiding officer should have discretion over whether you have 3 minutes or less. If more, that's fine. Shouldn't have that discretion for less speaking. The term extended dialogue for board members answering the public's question, that should be defined. There's just a minute here. Okay. Members of the on page 6, item B, Members of the audience who wish to address the board shall line up behind the podium or sit in the front two rows. Unless those front two rows are reserved, I don't think that's going to work too well. And everybody, you'd have to change seats for every agenda item. I think a person should be allowed to defer his time to another person. That's item G. That's exempt. When a group or a person wishes to address the board on the same subject, this is item H, I've seen this work in the past. So I've seen as many as 15 people, and their spokesperson is only allowed 3 minutes. I would think that should be redefined, maybe the initial 3 minutes and then 1 minute per person thereafter. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying. There's a bunch of stuff in here. This is a good one here, page 9. Directors do not represent any fractional segment of the community. Come on now. There's the most fractional board probably in the state of California. Okay. That's all I've got. Only the board can comment on it. Am I reading that right? And not the public. In other words, to avoid having the meeting go past 12:30.
Okay, I think I've got it. My confusion was
right.
You were referring to the struck out one, and I was looking at closed session, and that's why I didn't get that. That's why I didn't see your point, but I get it.
Oh, I see. I mean, is that struck out then?
On page 3, yeah.
Yeah.
It was 2-2-1, and now you see underneath it closed sessions 2-2-1. That was my confusion. That's,
okay.
I got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Additional public comment?
This is not my public comment on this item. This is just the announcement on the barbecue. Everybody in the room, tickets been covered. When you go after we stop here, just let them know you're coming from the CSD meeting. Jerry Walsh went over and explained what was happening. And if you just let them know, and then if you'll make a donation to the, I guess they got a bucket over there or whatever, but your meals are paid for, just let them know you're coming from the CSD meeting.
Thank you. Thank you for lunch.
I reserve my time.
Do we have any additional public comment?
Lindy Owen, Prohibition Zone. I guess I wanted to start with the agenda items. There definitely needs to be a clear method of fairly assigning agenda items to meetings as they come up. I've seen in the 3-2 decision-making process of this board, I've seen the two, their items are always put at the end of the agenda and at an impossible time when they will not be reached. And so that is a big failure in the system that you have right now. So I would like to see agenda items move up on the agenda and stop being pushed to the back and replaced with fresh agenda items until they do get addressed and or find another mechanism to work them through better, so that they're constantly being kept up with. It doesn't do any good to have an agenda item there for 3 months, never getting looked at. About the meeting costs, I'm surprised that Gordon is concerned about money, since he has helped choose the most expensive sewer, being the environmentalist that should have chosen the optimum sewer. If the committee meetings, each board director that attends a committee meeting is paid their $100 stipend. To me, that's $200 to get some business done. And why, I still don't know why, I mean, I have my conclusions, but why were the committee meetings ended? This is the most important, crucial time in this whole town's history. We are coming around to getting a sewer built.
We're talking about the bylaws right now.
Yeah, well, Gordon talked about committee, talked about cost. I'm suggesting
cost,
that if you want to save,
meetings.
Correct. If you go have your committee meetings as you were originally set up to do, and that was a very efficient method to get business done, then you didn't have to come have 4 hours of public comment on it. If you're trying to get back to getting a timely, reasonable way of getting through all the work of the business of the district and the community, then the committees are very important, and you keep putting things on CSD meetings that should have been looked at earlier and worked. Okay, my time is up, but I do think you could save a lot of time and money by getting back to the committee meetings. Thank you.
Any additional public comment on this item before we go to lunch? And the public comment will still be in effect after we come back. But the people that have already spoken will not be speaking, except for the one gentleman, Mr. Margaretson, who did not make his public comment. Okay.
Mr. Director, I think this item deserves 5 minutes public comment, not 3 minutes public comment. So if anybody feels cheated of your time, I wish that we would have everybody allowed to have 5 minutes public comment. There's quite a lot of information. I didn't get a chance to say that because I thought we were going to lunch.
Okay, let's adjourn for lunch. We'll be back here at 1:30.
Have you seen my new board?
I have not. Is it out there?
No, I'm up here. I don't know. I went out this morning before.
Ready, Bob? Please come back to order. We're going to now resume with public comment on item A.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Sennett. I'm a candidate for the Los Osos Community Services District recall.
Steve, we're having trouble hearing you. Is that mic?
It's on. I can't hear myself. Okay. I'd like to address item three, rules of decorum, regarding public comment subject to provisions 2.2.2. I believe that it limits, constrains, and precludes public comment. And although I can appreciate the effort to bring the length of our meetings within a reasonable time limit, I see that we need to consider how the trend of increasingly long meetings came about and how our legal counsel proposes to remedy this condition. We all see that the elimination of committee meetings, where many public concerns were aired, and this in itself deferred public input to the board meetings. It kind of short-circuited that and caused an increase in public comment here on concerns that would otherwise be brought up in committee. The elimination of the policy to hold two board meetings per month resulted in a backlog of public concerns to be heard, as well as director agenda items that stacked up. The controversy attached to the business conducted by the board inherently produces demand for public input and increased demand. This should be a trend that may likely diminish after the upcoming recall election. So, all in all, I think we should hold action on amending the bylaws for the time being. I think we need to bring these things to our own hearts and adjust them there. I don't think these rules will necessarily preclude that kind of thing, because you should be aware of these before anybody. And if the board, tromps on that, regardless of what's stated in the bylaws, I think, it's not a good thing. I don't believe this issue calls for a martial law implemented on speakers' rights. Thank you.
Additional public comment?
Mr. President?
Dr. Schicker?
Didn't we agree that we were going to have five-minute public comments instead of three-minute public comments for the details on the bylaws?
No, we did not.
Are you going to honor that request?
No, not at this time. I'm hoping we can get to the second agenda item. If we did five-minute public comment, I don't think there'd be a chance of ever getting to the second agenda item.
I don't think there's many people who might need 5 minutes, but I think we should allow them if they need it.
Additional public comment?
Hi, Peggy Pavick, Prohibition Zone.
Let's see, Gordon, you wanted me to tell you what page I was on. It's regarding recommendation number 8. I think it's point 32, and it's on page 5. Okay, I was just wondering if you could clarify when you said that you'll declare a speaker out of order if they use a profanity or make slanderous comments. Does that also regard a board member? Will you rule them out of order when they use a profanity? Can I have an answer?
Mr. Seiss, would you like to give the legal ramifications around the profanity issue?
Well, this revolves around the decorum of a meeting. Now, I don't disagree with the speaker about, you know, that the rules should apply equally. The issue of, to me, of profanity, number one, is typically not relevant. I suppose somebody can utter profanity and make it relevant, but the issue of whether somebody is this or somebody is that is typically not relevant to the subject matter or within the board's jurisdiction. Secondly, I think profanity in and of itself has an impact on those people that attend the meetings and those people that view it. Although I want the speaker to know that I do sympathize with the position that, you know, when you have these rules, they should apply across the board.
Thank you.
Additional public. Additional public comment.
Howdy, board. Howdy, staff, friends. My name is Joey Ricano with the Ocean Outfall Group, but some might call me the Los Osos kid. Now, first thing I'd like to say is that I'm no lawyer. If they try to make it so that there's only 1 hour and however many people come in, sign up, and then they divide that by an hour, see? So what they're trying to do here is illegal, and they know it's illegal. And that man there, he's a lawyer. He really knows it's illegal. So now I'm going to move on. I just got back from Sacramento this morning, and interestingly, I had pitched my ABC resolution to the Environmental Caucus. I'm not going to stop.
Is this about the bylaws?
Yes, it is, sir. Yes, it is.
Then please make it about the bylaws.
I'm going to make it. But you want to stop the clock and start me again? Well, then stop interrupting me. So what happened was when I went to pitch my ABC plan before the California Democratic Party's Environmental Caucus at the Radisson Hotel in Sacramento last night, guess who the speaker was against me? It was Bruce Daniels at the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And guess what? He's not allowed to do that. They're getting desperate, folks. So now,
Mr. Ricano,
I have two Regional Water Quality Control Board members that have both been caught violating the law.
Mr. Ricano,
what I'm trying to say here.
Mr. Ricano, you're out of order and disruptive.
What I'm trying to say here is that we're being threatened by Regional Water Quality Control Board fines. But the Regional Water Quality Control Board has no power anymore.
Please
so the best
Mr.
thing
Ricano.
To do is
please
to go to stopthewaver.com to read my daily blog.
Please remove
stopthewaver.com
right
to find out what you can do to stop. Check what test. I'm the low sales judge.
I thought Stan was disruptive, not Joey. Thank you. He was just speaking at the moment.
Thank you.
It's all about perception.
Do we have any more public comment? This is still on the first item. You got it, are you? Yes.
First of all, I'd like to thank the gentleman that paid for all of our lunches over at the Johnson Starlings fundraiser for low income people. I'm hoping that the merchants will continue with this effort. It's a way that everybody could get involved. Those that are on the fence and don't know which way they're going to vote, they can move forward and help in that way.
My name is Joyce Albright, and I live in the Prohibition Zone. I agree with setting an ending time to the meetings. I'm hoping I can just make some comments without citing pages. In order to have the most effective and timely meetings, I think it would be great if we could stop the slander that's being directed at the board members and staff. Al Barrow's pointing at John Seitz and calling him a liar was absolutely incredible and cowardly, since he realizes that these public officials are sitting ducks and they cannot respond in kind. I think that revisiting old issues that have been discussed many times is pointless and time-wasting. I think that each person should be limited to 1 minute at public comment and 1 hour total per item. We've got to cut down on the time that is being spent in these meetings. The meetings are designed to accomplish something, not to continually harangue. There should be no week ahead of time to study all the issues. They don't have to massage them on camera all the time. I think we ought to set prerequisites for directors putting items on the agenda that frivolously review previous decisions or cover frivolous issues. Thank you.
Additional public comment?
John Perkins, Quest by the Sea. I understand the purpose of public testimony is to aid the board in making informed decisions. To that end, public testimony is important. If testimony is reduced, I must weigh with what will appear to some, including myself, as a denial of free speech. But I must weigh that with the delay of the meetings to an unreasonable hour, with what appears to be very repetitive comments or comments that are only remotely concerned with the topic being addressed from both sides. Realizing that it might be me that is denied the right to speak or my time reduced, I urge you to limit the time limits as proposed. Thank you.
Additional public comment?
James T. Catchelow, Sosos. I guess I'll start off by saying I would like to request that this meeting, that no action be taken on this item tonight or this afternoon, precisely because it's a afternoon meeting with little attendance, and I'm not sure how knowledgeable the public was about this item coming up on the agenda. I also oppose any action being taken on this item tonight or today because of the fact that not all the directors' requests for bylaws amendments are being considered. And if you're going to amend the bylaws, let's do it all at once. I do applaud the district and council for trying to do something to get the meetings a little more functional or you know, so you can get your work done. But if this is strictly a business meeting, to get business done, then maybe you ought to just, if there's any way you can do it, and we can check with legal counsel, is just eliminate public comment on any item. And that would make it very expeditious for business to get completed, if that's the objective. I would go so far as to say that to limit public comment at this point, at this month right now, is a form of electioneering because of the upcoming recall election. And it's just my perception that there's a effort to limit input with regard to any issues that are coming up before the board, and the fact that it may reflect negatively on the three candidates that are facing recall. So I would ask that the item be tabled, that all the bylaws amendments be considered at one time, and that it be done at a regular evening meeting with more notice so that they can do it all at once. That being said, I did have some specific comments. Page 4, recommendation number 5, any person threatening bodily harm. My limited knowledge of the penal code, that's a crime. That's called assault. And rather than having someone, I think we know how that's always going to go. With regard to speaker slips, I understand the need to try and get through the public comment, but there's many times where I don't intend on speaking on an item, until I hear something that's said during public comment, which motivates me to want to comment. And so that gets to limiting the time. And so, again, I urge that no action be taken today so that this item can be given additional consideration. Thank you.
Additional public comment?
Hello, my name is Gail Smith-Deegan. My concern, as I'm sure it's very much your concern, is that with any kind of restriction, that we safeguard the First Amendment. And I know that's first and foremost in your thought, but I want you to know that it is in mine as well. I don't want to be screamed at. I don't want to be called names. But I do want to know the dissenting opinion. I'm glad to hear them speak, but I get intimidated by all the activity. Just safeguard the First Amendment as I know you will. Thank you.
Additional public comment?
Hi, Bo Cooper, Los Osos. A couple of items I want to talk about the bylaws. 3.2.0, that personally threatening bodily harm. That's a great concern that it's either the presiding officer, Stan, or a sworn police officer who could act on that. I think we saw a bad result with the restraining order that Richard and Stan brought against Richard Marketson. I think that they had the authority to bring that kind of action based on this kind of statute is dangerous because he was cut off and was misunderstood rather than listened to. Someone could misunderstand the threatening bodily harm thing as you did, said you're afraid for your families and your lives, and that's a great concern to me. 3.2J talks about the presiding officer may rule the speaker out of order who makes slanderous, personal, or other remarks that disrupt the orderly conduct of the meeting. The presiding officer shall rule a speaker out of order whose remarks include profanity, derogatory, racial, sexual, ethnic, or similar slurs related to categories protected by the California Fair Employment and Housing Act. And that's also in the resolution with some explanation of the act. It says in the resolution that the act applies to public attendance and participation at district meetings. I think that's dead wrong. I don't think it does not apply to public meetings. It applies to employment things. It applies to housing things. It does not apply to meetings. I call the housing people, the people who govern this, and they were unclear about it. They said it was a very unusual use of it. They hadn't heard of such use, and so they were checking into it further, but the meeting was today, and I didn't get a response. But clearly, even in the explanation on on the first page of the resolution, it just talks about employment and then talks about housing. It has nothing to do with meetings. A very unusual use of things. Finally, BACA. BACA's been talked about very often. BACA versus LeGros. I'm sorry. A speaker shall have no censor over them to whom they may apply for permission to speak. May I have another minute?
Please finish.
Thank you. District policy, this whole quotations, district policy will leave the determination of what is slanderous or false up to one person, in this case, Stan. This is the very evil the rule against censorship and prior restraint of speech seeks to prevent. The California Constitution forbids prior restraint or censorship, even by judges, because this subjects all freedom of sentiment to the prejudices of one man and makes him the arbitrary and fallible judge of all. So that's why I would object to just the one speaker. In fact, I might have just 30 seconds more, 15 seconds more.
15 seconds.
Thank you very much. Mr. Seitz talked about compelling reasons for having this kind of thing. The act, BACA talks about the difference between important and significant reasons why you want to have a more pleasant meeting, and compelling reasons like war, emergencies. So to have this kind of regulation that's as tight as it is contrary to the idea of compelling. Thank you.
Mr. Seitz, you want to talk at all about the Fair Employment and Housing Act?
Thank you. I just wanted to just address my comments to the resolution. Actually, it's the fourth whereas, and what the resolution says is, whereas the District Board of Directors declares that the findings and declarations of public policy found in Government Code Section 12920, which is the Fair Employment Housing Act, in support of adoption of the California Fair Employment Act, apply to public attendance. We're not saying, we're saying that the policies apply, the same reasons and the same rationale. And it, and here's what it, here's what the public policy is in the Fair Employment and Housing Act. It's hereby declared as a public policy of this state that it's necessary to protect and safeguard the rights and opportunities of all persons to seek, obtain, and hold employment without discrimination or abridgment on account of race, religious creed, color, national origin, ancestry, physical disability, mental disability, medical condition, marital status, sex, age, and sexual orientation. All we're saying is those same policies apply to those people that want to attend and participate at a public meeting. We're not adopting the Fair Employment Housing Act into the meeting. We're just saying the policies in adopting that adopt those policies for employment are similar to the policies that should be here at our meetings.
Mr. Cooper. Yeah, if you want to have a discussion afterwards, that's fine, but not at this point. Director LeGros.
Yes, Mr. Sykes, the previous speaker just referred to the Baucus versus the Board of Education. Would you please kind of put that into context as to what the final decision on that was all about?
Well, I think people can read into the Baca decision what they I think it has something for everybody. The public to comment positively on its employees. And I think the basic part of that case was that it wasn't a content-neutral rule that was being applied because it would allow somebody to come up and praise employees, but under the same rules you couldn't criticize employees. And just by the way, I can find the site, but the Baca case specifically refers to this government code section as those types of public policies, and I just want to see if I can't find it while I'm here. That's the type of policies that what they ended up saying is there's no overwhelming statement of public policy that says you shouldn't be able to criticize employees. But I have the entire Baca decision here, and I'm going to just read through it, and at the end of the meeting I will come and talk to you.
Additional public comment?
Steve Sawyer, I live in Los Osos, and the Baca case does address discrimination against content as well as many other cases out there. Similar to the flyer that was just taken off the table for its content. It was illegally removed, and the only reason was because what was in it. And you're not allowed to do that. Gordon, you showed your true colors earlier when you asked if you should offer your edits up front. Of course you should, so that the public can comment on them. That's been a constant problem with this district since day one. You don't say anything, public makes their comment, and then all of a sudden all these new ideas come to the forefront, and all these new things we've never seen and never heard of. Happens every time there's a meeting. Of course there's outrage in the back of the room, and of course there's comments made. You should make your comments before us so that we can have time to react to those and let you know whether we agree with your thinking or not. Mr. Gustafson made comments earlier about getting things done in a business meeting atmosphere, but that seems to conflict with the comments that he made to district council sites that he wanted as few meetings as possible between now and the election to limit our ability to speak out against you. You now seem to support more meetings, but with drastic reductions in public input. On page 2 under recommendations, I'm wondering, since there's 2 one-hour public comment periods, but it's on a single agenda, are individuals going to be limited to only speaking once a month, or can they speak during both of those public comment periods? As far as limiting the amount of time total for public comment, an example given earlier was if there were 40 people during a one-hour agenda item, that would work out to a minute and a half apiece. What if there was 40 people on a 30-minute item? Would they only get 45 seconds apiece? How does that seem fair? It takes more time to get to the podium than that. And Chris Albee earlier pointed out that he's worried about speaker slips and people coming in late, people at home driving down here. What about people in the audience that might not want to speak, but then they hear something and they're compelled to get up and speak? And I addressed this issue before during this bylaw discussion, and District Council Sites assured me, oh, that would never happen. If anybody comes in, we'll be sure they have an opportunity to speak. Section 3.2, paragraph E, the president, when you are talking about shortening the length of time, and it's at the presiding officer's discretion, I think you need to add the wording in a fair and equitable manner. Thank you. I have plenty more to say, but it's hard to get this stuff into a three-minute time period, and I don't know how I'm going to do it in 45 seconds or a minute, especially when you like to take 10 agenda items and pack them into one and then limit us to a minute and a half or 45 seconds. It's insanity.
I understand the point. Any additional public comment?
Dave Dugan, Warsaw Ghetto Bay Osos. President Gustin, board members, and residents of Los Osos, bylaws, rules of decorum, rules of ethics, codes, regulations, laws, civil and criminal. We are a nation of laws and not individuals. Yet the law protects us as individuals, and the law can prosecute us as individuals. Nevertheless, if an individual should be in or aspire to a position to which that individual has control over how those laws are applied, and with that individual having no respect for the law, can we expect that individual to abide by the law? If we know that an individual is not capable of rendering a decision without malice and or self-interest, and we raise that individual to a position of governance over us, are we not guilty of the same malice and self-interest? And if an individual is accused of breaking the criminal law, doesn't that individual have recourse to defend himself with the assumption of innocence until proven otherwise? But what if the ruling party demonstrates a disregard to the rule of law? What recourse does the accused have? Fortunately, judicially, there are checks and balances in this regard. So I ask you, what checks and balances do we have to assure us that those in or aspiring to these positions of governance will not with malice and self-interest rule us out of order, stifle our speech, and or have us restrained, removed, and or arrested? What guarantees do we have for appeal and or redress? In that moment, what words would have been said that could have revealed the truth, but no ears heard? What important decisions can be made if thoughts of the individuals are not allowed to be spoken? Freedom of expression, speech, and assembly are guaranteed to all and not just to those of one point of view. Dissension is not a crime. Be very careful not to trample on the rights of individuals and or the people as a whole. For there are those who will follow after you, and they may judge you as you have judged others. And all should heed this warning. Tyrants are tyrants, regardless of what side of the issues they may fall on. Be aware, be on guard, and be ever vigilant so you and others can be free, forever free. Thank you.
Additional public comment?
Michael Jones, Los Osos. As Gordon would say, I have a tremendous grasp of the obvious. Council, after who is it that you think we believe is helping you? The main reason for limiting public comment is due to the ridiculous length of meetings sometimes going till 3 or 4 a.m. and the fact that not enough agendized items are being heard. Excuse me. There is really only one issue in this town, and we all know what that is. The community defeated the CSD on the fire tax issue. We now have a cheaper, better CDF. All that really leaves is the sewer. The rest is frosting and sprinkles. The sewer is why the CSD was created in the first place. 80% of all CSD meeting time and comment should be devoted to sewer-related issues. There is one reason why our CSD meetings go till 3 a.m. The reason is the majority of the citizens of Los Osos do not support this sewer project, and many of these people feel the need to speak out against this sewer project. This is why our meetings go till 3 a.m. If the CSD had worked with the community on developing a project the community supported, these meetings would be done at 9:30 p.m., one meeting a month, no problem. And let me also add that when you guys do these sort of things, you really shoot yourself in the foot. I've never seen three people try harder to not get reelected. When you break ground without permits, when you change bylaws to limit public comment, when you deny the public's access and input by refusing to form committees, when meeting after meeting, civil engineers, accountants, environmentalists, and the average Los Osan overwhelmingly tell you this is not the project for this town, and meeting after meeting you vote the other way, what do you think these actions say to the average ambivalent Mike and Mary in this town? It says to them there is something wrong, very wrong with this project. There's an old saying from Shakespeare, there's something rotten in the state of Denmark. Well, there's something rotten in the town of Los Osos. I can smell it. It's coming from the CSD.
Please finish up.
Three members who refuse to listen and to represent their community. Thank you for the time.
Additional public comment?
Chuck Cribbs, Los Osos. I think I've had most of my questions answered and comments already been made, so I'll try to cut this down just a little bit. First of all, personally, I don't think that changing the bylaws to limit public comment or input is a wise thing. I think probably in more meetings, and I see one of these, number 2-1 with the two meetings is helping. I think that's the way to go, is more meetings, not less public input. But that being said, there's one item that I don't think is kind of one of my pet peeves is on page 6 on the decorum 3-2, item G, person cannot defer his or her time allotted allocation to another person. Let's take that scenario. President Gustafson is faced with a very tight meeting, and there's 80 speakers that want to do public comment. Speakers to donate their time to one central speaker. It would be much more beneficial for this board, and you would get much more of a coherent argument or information than you would from 30 or 40 people trying to come up and saying the same thing in different ways over and over and over. So I would personally, that's the one I'd really like you to take a look at and see if we could maybe allow the passing of the time to other speakers. Thank you.
Additional public comment?
Vivian McNeil, Los Osos. I see today's resolution as a compromise between the need for the Los Osos Community Services District to conduct its business and in an expeditious manner, and the right of the public to speak, and the public's right to expect a meeting that doesn't go into the wee hours of the morning, because many of us, quite frankly, can't physically be there for the entire meeting, even though we would like to. I thank you for the idea for the speaker's slips. I have thought that a good idea for a long time. And the limits on the speaker's time, depending on how many people want to speak. The County Board of Supervisors, the County Planning Commission, the State Water Resources Control Board, the California Coastal Commission, and numerous other agencies all utilize the speaker slips and time limitations in order to conduct their business in a timely manner. I urge you to approve the proposed changes to the bylaws and rules of decorum that you can do today. At least pass something, some of it today. There's a lot of other things that perhaps need to be addressed, but that can be done at a later date. Continue to work on these. I think your bylaws are always or should be a work in progress. And it's my belief that public comment is to assist the board of directors in making decisions. And my preference is to have the public make their comments before the board of directors make theirs. Thank you.
Additional public comment?
Chuck's a senior Prohibition Zone resident. I'm not a proponent of doing something, even if it's wrong, just so you can say you did something today. So I would say don't act today on this. It's too important to rush these things through. Some of my specific concerns are, most of these have been mentioned, speaker slips. I think that they get in the way of people who are inspired at the moment, being hundreds of thousands of dollars on PR campaigns and attempts to limit public comment. Without a vote, there is no way for people to have their voice heard, and that's what's going on here. People don't feel like they're being listened to, like they've had ever had a voice in this. For months, we've asked you to reinstate committee meetings as a way to inform the public other than at your regular meetings, and now that you're finally getting around to doing it, it comes after changes to bylaws, the more important way to control people. Since your misleading EIR that inferred that the Tri-W site was the lower cost alternative, we've had to be skeptical of every bit of information that's been released by this board. If you're going to mislead us about that fundamental issue, why not mislead us about everything? The only way that people have to gather information is to ask questions. You're deliberately attempting to limit information to the public, much like you deliberately tried to limit information by keeping two directors out of the pre-construction conferences last week. They were there to observe, not to run the meeting, and not to have any input in the meeting. And why you didn't want to tape that? For your own protection. It's unbelievable. $150 million project. You don't think questions will come up later on that could have been resolved if you had some of that meeting taped? That's just amazing. It's just a pattern of trying to obfuscate and keep information from us. You don't want to hear what we have to say. And the changes in the bylaws are a very obvious way of trying to do that. I appreciate the fact that the meetings go on way too long. We're violating the Brown Act every time we meet until 3 in the morning. But there has to be another way. Thank you.
Additional public comment?
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. I'll tell you what, for all of the stuff that's on this, for bylaws changes, 3 minutes is certainly not enough. I think one of the things that's most important that I believe was in Ms. Biggs' letter was the beginning of the Brown Act. The people of this state do not yield their sovereignty to the agencies which serve them. The people in delegating authority do not give their public servants the right to decide what is good for the people to know and what is not good for them to know. The people insist on remaining informed so that they may retain control over the instruments they have created. This is to prevent the community from being informed. If everybody in this room was all in support of the CSD, we wouldn't be talking about changing the bylaws and limiting the hours. There's a lot of issues. I think for one, I think it should be 2 meetings a month. I think you should have 4 meetings a month until you get rid of this backlog. And if you're going to do public comment, 2 hours or donate time. I think Gordon's suggestion at the beginning of doing time or doing speaker slips was a pilot program, I believe.
why don't we do a pilot program of donating time and see how that works? 2.1, page 3, subject to holidays and scheduling conflicts. I get rid of the words and scheduling conflicts. You guys should be meeting twice a month, regardless. And I don't really quite understand and consider agenda items with that language. I'm excited he doesn't want to hear it. And again, that goes back to what I stated at the beginning, is that not to keep the people informed. I think the language in 3.20, upon observing, should be removed. Any person threatening a member, as I believe it was read before, is the way it should be. There's also something in the Brown Act here, but I think it says the members of the board may choose to remove someone, just not member. So I think you need to adhere to that. Again, I'm just kind of going through all this stuff. It's just that if you pull an item, that could be a hearing item. And I think that limiting it to a half an hour is not right, and making a regular agenda item when it should be a hearing item. It's unreal. I think it was stated succinctly as the reason why we're having long meetings is, one, you said we only needed one meeting a month, and then you went to two, and then there's a controversy. These people do not support you. And I just have one question, and I'll be done. Is AGP going to be running this meeting as well as the meeting that we just had, the other regular CSD meeting, instead of having this preempted?
Because you have time to do both. I'm not sure what the meeting is, or question is. What's the question?
You're having this meeting today on the bylaws and committees, right, as well as the regular CSD meeting
Thursday.
Is being aired. Is this going to supersede that, or can you play both of them?
Mr. Gill.
We'll try to get both of them on. I think if this one is going to run 4 hours and the other one's going to run 4 hours, we may be right up at the limit running each of them three times.
If I could comment on this. The last board meeting was 6 hours, 23 minutes, and we don't know the length of this one. So I could potentially fit in both of these meetings, but it would be a situation where I would have to limit to probably one play each on, or have two plays of one of the meetings, one play of the other meeting. So I'd be happy to help in the scheduling at that point.
Thank you. Additional public comment?
Jerry Walsh, Prohibition Zone, Los Osos. Page 6, item 3.2E. Members of the public addressing the board of directors shall have 3 minutes to speak unless extended or shortened by the presiding officer at his or her discretion. And again, I disagree with the discretion part. This is not a one-man board. Item 3.2J, the presiding officer may rule a speaker out of order who makes slanderous, personal, or other remarks. And I think personal or other remarks needs to be changed. Other remarks is very ambiguous, and certainly to be at the discretion of one person. And on the second page, page 7, the presiding officer, item L, the presiding officer may rule a speaker out of order who is unduly repetitious or extending discussion of irrelevance. Again, I think at the discretion of one person, there needs to be a lot of clarification, because it's been shown that the presiding officer did not have fair or just discretion by his unfair, unjust lawsuit against one of our speakers. Thank you.
A passionate or uninformed speech. It would not pass constitutional muster. The First Amendment protects speech which is uninhibited, robust, wide open, vehement, caustic, and sharp, as well as speech which lacks truth, social utility, or popularity, or which exaggerates or vilifies. So that's pretty clear. Then I want to go on to, I've got to hurry, I've only got 3 minutes. So I'm going to talk about the length of the public comment. The CSD 3 has a history of attempting to stifle public comment. In October 2004, you mysteriously cut the meetings from 2 to 1 per month. That was in violation of your own bylaws at C Meeting 2.1. You added back a second meeting to get your business done, but that doesn't allow public comment. I think you need workshops. That would help. If you vote to restrict the open public comment and also on agenda items, the president could impose more restrictions. As you talked about, you can go between 1 and 2 minutes per speaker. Through speaker slips, you could actually pick the people you want to speak if you wanted to limit it that way. The president could do that. You could have equal numbers on each side, even if you had a 2-to-1 opposition on the subject. Also, you could have a lottery. You could pick who had the right to speak so that some people didn't get to speak. At the discretion of the president, he could say, hey, everybody's talking about sewers. I just want one person to talk about it. So it's not a voluntary thing, but he could do it. It's in your bylaws on rules of decorum 3.2H. I think this should be tabled till after the election because there's a conflict of interest. If you limit the public comment, the CSD3 will personally gain because we can't talk about the recall. And also you'll hear less from and about the three qualified candidates who are running to replace you, John Fouché, Chuck Cicina, and Steve Sennett. Let's see. You already used our money to defeat the initiative, so why are you beating us down further? I recommend that there's no limit on public comment. That's meetings 2.2.2. Allocate that we can allocate our time. That's 3.2G. And again, I think no action should be taken because the directors need to read Mr. Seitz's legal support for these. It seems pretty shaky. You have to read Baca versus Board of Education and the Fair Employment and Housing thing. Although they say nice things, it does have no application whatsoever to public meetings. Thank you.
Additional public comment?
Richard Margetson. Why are the meetings taking so long? Jan DeLeo chastised me a couple meetings ago for the input on the budget. These meetings might take so long because the district's a disaster. The fire issue is under control. You got problems at the water department. There's an item on the agenda last time as a consent item. It's gone from consent to agenda to now it's going to be a hearing item at the next meeting. Cost savings. You talk about the $4,000 per meeting. 20-ish public input. These meetings should last until you get the information that's needed and act on the information that's brought forward instead of ignoring it. It shouldn't always be a fight on everything. As far as extending the meetings with a 4/5 vote, that I'm fine with that. But then it should also be 4/5 vote for moving an agenda item up so what Ann talked about earlier, the gamesmanship can't happen. Because right now, the three can move anything up. The two ladies, I have no shot. If the other three do not want an item moved up, it should be 4/5. It should work both ways. It should work for whatever new board is here. Closed session definitely should be at the beginning of the meeting. There are people that come just for the closed session items. Section 2.4, Gordon wanted me to point out pages. I have four items that are of concern. Section 2.4 of the bylaws. Members of the board shall attend all regular and special meetings of the board unless there is good cause for absence. There's been absences at these meetings, and we've never heard what the good cause was for those directors to be absent. Section 6.1.
Please wrap it up.
Yeah, okay. Directors shall prepare themselves to discuss agenda items at meetings of the Board of Directors. Information may be requested from staff or exchanged between directors before meetings. I think this goes to our concern. We would like to hear from the board what their thoughts are on items. And I know, and you know, that I've asked a number of times if the directors have had any problems with an item before then. I've brought my concerns forward. to me, that goes to preparation for the meeting and if you're ready to speak on it. And I've called a number of the directors out in the past if they knew the answers to certain items. That shows poor preparation. It's poor preparation that the directors aren't ready to discuss items that have significant impact on the community financially. 6.2, real quick, directors shall at all times conduct...
You were 3 minutes were up some time ago.
Okay, one more.
This is your last point.
8.3B. A list of all committees, this is under the committee structure, a list of all committees whose members serve at the pleasure of the board of directors and the necessary qualifications for each position. I'd like clarification on what that even means.
Mr. Buell.
Mr. President, the intent is to just provide the community with a listing of the community members that are serving on your standing committees.
Additional public comment? Okay, at this time, I'm going to bring it back to the board. Please come forward.
My name is Alon Perlman, and I live in the Prohibition Zone, which are your next discussion item. And so I'd like to refer you not necessarily to the bylaws, but to the Business Director and Visitor's Guide, where it says that the board shall encourage community participation in its decision-making and shall facilitate the interaction between the community and other agencies and levels of government. All board meetings are public meetings, and any member of the public can speak to the board regarding any matter of district authority. So the question of whether someone speaks with relevance to the agenda item is not necessarily stated here. In fact, if I tell you a story about my grandmother, you can be sure that ultimately it's a metaphor for the sewer, which is the only subject that anybody really speaks about. But just in terms of the committees, may I read? The district has established 5 committees to advise the board on various aspects of its operation. Each committee is comprised of 2 directors and at least 3 community members, etc. So it would be best, the best way to limit public discussion is to reactivate the committees, where people have an opportunity to both vent and get answers. And I think that there's other ways to limit, and that could be the recall election. But I suggest that this time you do not make any changes to the bylaws. You've been reasonably fair, and you have allowed people who've gone a few seconds over their time. I'm speaking directly to you, Stan. You've been quite reasonable about allowing people a few more minutes, in my opinion. So I commend you on that. But I don't think that these bylaws are really going to save anybody a heck of a lot of time. So I suggest you table this item and move on to committees. Thank you very much.
Additional public comment? Okay, at this time, I'll bring it back to the board. Do you have board comment on this item? Director Schicker.
I'd like to make a motion that we continue this item until a future date to be determined. Let's see.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, this time, do we have any board comment? I've got a couple of comments, so I don't see anybody else that wants. Director Tagger?
If you don't mind.
Please.
I would support the motion. I believe we need some kind of committee work on the bylaws as a whole. An ad hoc committee may be made up of 2 directors. I don't know which 2, because maybe they'd have to do it by telephone. We need to work this out. There's just in Mr. Seitz's recommendations, there's too much to tackle today. And then there's, another 10 pages that need revisions and a new flavor. So that's kind of why I would support the continuance.
Vice President Hensley.
A con-
continuance is fine with me. When it comes back at whatever time that is, I would like to see is reluctant to move away from the podium. How exactly do we enforce that? How do we enforce the directors abiding by the bylaws or not abiding by the bylaws? I'd like to see us address that issue.
Sugar.
I do really want to continue this item. I again have at least 50 comments and about 50 pages marked up here. It's not the time or place to do that today. The main things that I'm concerned about as far as the bylaw changes are, one, my stuff isn't here today. I want to bring my stuff back. I had my stuff from January. It's not included in the packet. I also believe in fair agendizing, and we don't have that right now. We don't have fair agendizing. Those of you in the public may or may not know that every week that I try to get things agendized, I make email requests to both the president and the general manager, and they get refused every time. Every single time that I ask to have something bumped up, it gets refused and it gets put on a waiting list. And so all of my agenda items are packed to the bottom of the waiting list right now. This is absolutely unfair, and constituents are not getting their issues addressed. So that's a biggie for me. I totally believe in reasonable meeting hours. And if it's going to take a few meetings to do that, so be it. More meetings until we get through the backlog. But that's the only thing I wish we could do right away is the reasonable meeting hours and have more meetings if we needed. And I totally believe in donation of minutes and sharing of time instead of keeping everyone to this strict three-minute thing. I have plenty more comments, but again, enough for today. Thanks. President Gustafson.
I have some comments. First of all, it's a business meeting, I think. Go ahead, Director Tagger.
Mr. LeGros had some comment, too. I saw him. But I'll go first. Just as Director Schicker pointed out some of her sticking points, I have one that I would like sort of aired right now, and that is the president's ability to appoint directors to functions, meetings. I'd like to request at this very moment that I be allowed to attend a meeting between U.S. Fish and Wildlife representative and our environmental consultant on Monday. I understand that that meeting is going on. I'd like to observe if I'm not allowed to participate. But for the community's information, myself and Director Schicker have asked to attend district business wherever it's going on, and we've been refused that ability. And some of you might have read the Bay News, but we were threatened with having the sheriff called should we proceed through the door at a pre-construction meeting. That I know I feel very strongly that this is the people's project, it's the people's money being discussed in there, and I believe the people would have liked me to observe that meeting. So I asked and was refused that ability. So I would like to ask of the meetings I know about coming up Monday, I'd like Mr. Buell to...
And quite frankly, I would like to continue with this discussion today and start coming to some closure on some of these issues. You know, I think what Mr. Seitz has done is commendable, because he's trying to set up a structure by which the public can have a reasonable expectation that the business of the community can be done in a timely manner. And that's not an easy thing, because we understand the degree that the public wants to participate and to give us their point of view. But we need to balance the need for the community to get its business done as well as to have public comment. What Mr. Seitz has done by setting up the structure that he's recommending and is in the resolution actually helps protect the voice of the minority on the board. And the way it does that is that it sets up a mechanism by which things that are on the agenda and on the waiting list are moved up rapidly and can be addressed. To say that we are doing this in order to stifle public comment, I think is not correct. I completely believe in public comment. I want the public to participate. But the problem is that our meetings have become extremely lengthy due to the fact that public comment has become extremely time-consuming. And it doesn't seem to matter how many meetings we have every month. One, two, last month, this month we're having three. These meetings go on for a very long period of time. We must get a handle on how we conduct these meetings, because it is only by doing so that a lot of the items that the minority wants to bring forward can move forward on the agenda. I'm ready to really delve into what Mr. Seitz has put forward. I mean, we've discussed it two times now. And as I said earlier, this document is a living document. I know that as board members, we all have some concerns, but I think we need to start coming to a closure on this. Now, I might make a recommendation. There is some talk here that there's a perception that the board is doing this because we want to limit public comment, specifically before a general election. Not a general election, but a special election in September. I just recommend that if we adopt these things today, that we don't institute them until after the election. In other words, the meetings just keep on continuing as normal, but at least we started to make some headway in terms of resolving these issues so that after the election, no matter how it works out, there is a structure. So at this point, I will not support the motion. I think that this board, I believe that this board is here to make decisions, not to sit on its hands. And today I am ready to start making decisions. Thank you.
These are business meetings, and the idea is we have business to conduct, and we have public comment, and we have long meetings. Those three things don't always work. Committees cause the length of the meetings to extend. No. I think our first 3:30 a.m. meeting was in January. We still had committees. That's not it. It's the length of public comment and director comment, too. We're both guilty of that, all guilty of it. And what happens is when you have that and multiply by 3 minutes, or in some cases five, because I've done that before, depending upon the subject item, the length of it, it's just not physically possible to have a short meeting. It's not going to happen. So to have then get criticized because of a long meetings and to talk about the Brown Act relative to a long meeting is then to, in essence, restrict your own public comment, because that's what the meeting consists of. By and large, that's what it's all about. If we were to take any particular meeting and then break it down, and we can do that because it's been videotaped, how much of the meeting is conducted as a public comment, and how much of the meeting is board comment, and how much of the meeting is just to and from the podium. And I think that might be somewhat informative. Now, with respect to people that 40 or 50 members of the public that come up and then say the same thing in a different way, I don't have a problem with that. It would be nice if they take less than the 3 minutes to do it and just say, I agree with Mr. So-and-so or Ms. So-and-so. And then, but if you have specific different items, I obviously mentioned that. And I think it's very necessary to do that. As I say, I don't want to restrict public comment, but I certainly would not want to restrict it when there seem to be many comments from the public in terms of the danger of restricting public comment. And I certainly don't want to go there. I do have some questions relative to the items themselves with respect to the Baca decision, the question of the profanity, the question of the slanderous and personal comments. The way I read it is that those comments, if they're disruptive and disrupt the orderly conduct of the meeting, they then become the subject of a warning or an expulsion from the meeting. And it's not the comment itself, because many of these personal comments can be made in a non-disruptive way, and I understand that. And I understand the right of the public to make personal comments about myself if it comes to that. And I have sat through 5 years of this, and I think everybody here knows that. So that's not the question. The question is, when does it disrupt the meeting? And at that point, I think it is clear, and I think even the Baca decision would defend that right of the presiding officer at that point in a disruptive comment to be able to restrict that, go through the warning process, et cetera. I personally would like to see some of these items gone through today, but I certainly have no problem and no desire to restrict the public in any way, certainly not between now and the election. I have no particular desire to do that. And all those comments that we're talking about, that's an intention, certainly not my intention. At this point, barring any other comment, we have a motion at this point.
The other item, there'll be no way we'll be able to get over it in the 15 minutes. I have also prior commitments that I cannot get out of, so I recommend that we postpone the second item as well.
Is that in the form of a motion?
Yes, it is.
I'll second that.
Any board comment?
I have a little comment.
Director Schicker.
If Mr. LeGros has to go, that's okay. I don't know how long we have the room for, but there may be some public comment that might not be able to wait. Can we take public comment on the items since people plan to come here today for public comment and take no action?
I also need to leave at 3. Perhaps the proper motion is a motion to table?
I will, yes, let's table the item.
Okay, I have a question. We just had a motion and everybody voted to continue an item. We set no date, so it's continued into maybe sometime before my term is up. But this one, what is the difference with tabling versus continue?
Mr. Seitz.
I suppose we could get out Robert's Rules of Order, figure this out.
Except we don't go by Robert's Rules of Order.
But the reality is I think if you look at Robert's Rules of Order, and we're not bound by them, but when you table something, it doesn't come back. It's tabled. That's what it means. And usually when you continue an item, you continue it to a date certain. Or one could have another different perspective of it. I'm just giving you all your options. When something is tabled, it's just off the plate. When something is continued, there is an expectation that will come back. If it's continued to a date certain, then that's the date it comes back.
Okay. The motion has just been...
His original motion was to postpone.
But now it's table, and that doesn't sound like what he meant it to be, I hope.
Yeah.
I believe at this point we ought to table this item.
Table, that means never come back. Do you still support that, Gordon? It should be continued.
I think I agree for the very...
Please.
For the very reasons that we heard spoken before about the upcoming recall election, et cetera, I think this item should be tabled. The original idea or the original intent of continuing this item was the intensity of the incivility of the discussion that went on. I've seen nothing really change, and we received a letter. We received exactly like that. That's exactly what I mean. and we received a letter today from Joe Sparks withdrawing his nomination. He would like to have some issues of liability addressed, and I'd also like counsel to take some time and address that for us. And with all of that, I see...
Because the meat of the item is hashed out there. So I think you're doing... It's a double-edged sword. We need their help. We want their input. And then... They I guess I'm just disgusted that you guys don't want to have committees.
Mr. Seitz, it's public comment required on this. We're going to table it.
Well,
before the motion.
The answer to that is no, this isn't a public hearing. If this was a public hearing required by law, you would have to take public comment as part of the continuance.
Okay.
So the answer is no on this item. Additional board comment? Director Schicker.
I have a question about that, Mr. Seitz, because...
Please.
That's what I was getting to. Your brother last week, when we had consent, he said that if it was on the agenda, we had to allow public comment because people came to speak on an item. So I think we should allow public comment for those who want to speak on this item now, and if we table it, fine. But there are people who came specifically for this item.
That's fine with me, too. I'm the question wasn't one to me was, what do we have to do? If the board wants to take public comment, that's fine with me, too.
Well, if it's tabled, it's always able to be brought back, at which time we have public comment anyway. And if it winds up being tabled, then it's, at this time it's not going to matter. You have public comment when it comes up.
Mr.
Director
President,
Schicker.
Could we please have public comment? I think people... How many people in the room would like to speak?
Director Schicker, please.
There's at least 20 people
Director
that
Schicker,
would like to speak.
Director Schicker,
yes?
You're out of order.
How am I out of order?
You are out of order. We have a motion and a second.
I call a
motion. We have a motion and a second.
No, but I have the floor.
And I'm conducting...
I have
and
the floor.
I call a motion.
Please, Mr. Jones. Mr. Sawyer, please do not disrupt this meeting anymore. I'll ask the sheriff to take you outside. Mr. Sawyer, you're out of order. Out of order. Actually, three, Mr. Sawyer, or I should say eight.
Mr. Gustafson.
Schicker.
I do believe I still have the floor, and I do believe that he cannot cut me off while I'm still talking. Isn't that correct? I just want to finish my comment, and I think we have enough people in this room that would like to have public comment on this item, and it was on the agenda, and I don't understand why you will not allow public comment. There may not be another opportunity right now. I think it's important.
Director Schicker, we have a motion and a second on the floor. We're not opening it up to anything else at this point. And we've already...
Wait a minute.
If we have a motion
on the floor, can he allow no public comment?
Mr. Seitz.
Is that true?
Mr. Seitz.
I don't know if that's a law.
Please explain it to Mr. Schicker.
Let me just start at the get-go. This meeting was scheduled till 3 o'clock. That was by, if I recollect, by board action to start and to end it at 3 o'clock. It is tantamount to the same... decisions in those situations we continually advise our clients that in order to have appropriate continuance in front to save the notice provisions that you open it up to public comment before you continue it.
But there's an hour lunch break.
Director Tacker.
We took an hour.
That was by our choice.
Director Tacker.
I have to ask Mr. LeGros a question right now. I overheard you tell a citizen that we're not going to have committees until after the election.
Unbelievable, Mrs. Tacker. What has that got to do with the motion at all?
The motion is, I am accusing, I guess... I feel a Brown Act violation because I overheard you say that, and the only way you would know that is if you knew maybe that Mr. Gustafson and Mr. Hensley would vote with you to table this item.
This comment,
Mr.
LeGros' unbelievable
opinion is his
comment.
Opinion. I call the question.
I heard you say it.
Mrs. Vega. Mrs. Vega.
Director LeGros.
Yes.
Director Schicker.
I need to ask if you could please read it. I don't know what the motion is, what the final motion is.
The motion is to table
the item.
Versus continue the item? We are continuing the item? Tabling means what, again? What does tabling mean? What does tabling mean, Mr. Seitz?
Again, I think that you can seek clarification from the motion maker. I can't read minds, but I can tell you under traditional notions that when you table an item, you take it off the agenda. When you continue the item, you continue the item on the agenda.
But if we have an item in the bylaws that says we have to have committees, how can we table it and not put it back on?
You guys are discussing policy. If you take a look at the policy in the bylaws, it says the board may establish committees. I don't have my binder in front of me now, but I'd be happy to look it up.
Isn't the motion illegal if it says we have to have committees? Isn't the motion to table illegal? I'm looking for them right now. Hang on.
It says may create standing committees at its discretion. The board may.
It's Section 8. We do have committees. So
Section 8.1 says the board may create standing committees at its discretion.
And we did.
And
we have them already.
We did, and we adopted the bylaws.
These are adopted bylaws. We have committees. We have them, and we have... Hey,